Good morning, brethren and sisters. We would like to open this morning's meeting by the singing of Anthem 10, the 10th anthem. O praise the Lord, all ye nations. Anthem 10. Let us continue our meeting this morning by singing hymn number 8. Hymn number 8. Give praise and thanks unto the Lord, for bountiful is he, his tender mercy doth endure unto eternity. Eighth hymn. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise him, all ye servants. Praise the Lord, for he is good. Sing praises to his name, for I know that the Lord is great. Brethren and sisters, these are just a small selection of the lines that we've read this morning in our psalm reading, from which we can gain a clear and valuable theme of praise and thanks this morning. For our thoughts, before we partake of these emblems which are before us. This glass, is it half full or is it half empty? Are we glad for the things that we have, or are we always hankering after something else? Or are we thankful for all that we have, or frustrated that we don't have as much as others? Do we, as brothers and sisters, realize that our glass is half full? Do we appreciate what has been entrusted to us? What help is available to us? And what treasure is in store for each of us? Praise the name of the Lord. Praise him, all ye servants of the Lord. Praise the Lord, for he is good. Sing praises to his name, for I know that the Lord is good. And they continued in the Psalm 135, O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy doesn't endure for a short while, it endures forever. So what then is praise? The word praise means to glorify, to show warm appreciation, to extol. And extol means to praise enthusiastically. And that word, enthusiasm, comes from the word entheos, which means God within. So we have almost a circular position, surely. We are exhorted to show our gratitude through these psalms, our deep appreciation for the things given by the Almighty to us, and we encourage to do this, to show this appreciation, with fervor and enthusiasm, which comes from God being within us. So, what was David praising God for and giving thanks? Now, the header in my Bible states two interesting notes for each of the psalms we've read. The Lord is above all gods, is above Psalm 135. And above the second psalm, 136, recounting the mercy of God. Recounting the mercy of God. So surely these give us a clue as to what the psalmist was giving thanks and praise for. Firstly, the Lord is above all gods. Unquestioned supremacy, then. And what does this infer? Omniscience? Omnipotence? An omnipresence, capable of all things, in control of all things, for whom nothing, yes, nothing is impossible. This is the Lord that is above all gods. So having access or connection to this source of all power is most assuredly an amazing gift and benefit, and a most wonderful advantage. And as a result, the psalmist was giving thanks and adulation and praise to the most, to being connected to the all-powerful creator of all places. And how do we acknowledge this enormous privilege that we each have? Now, the second note, headed in my Bible, is recounting the mercy of God, his compassion, his forbearance, his forgiveness. That word mercy means compassion, forbearance, and forgiveness. And this chapter, this Psalm 136, was recounting, remembering, the mercy of God, the things that God had given to Israel and, by adoption, therefore, us. How can we grasp this grace, the unconstrained goodwill, unmerited goodwill, and condescension of Almighty God directed towards each of us feeble, failing souls? It was this tremendous gift of compassion, which perhaps can only be truly experienced between the relationship in this life of a parent and a child, and we've all been either parents or children, that was being eulogized by the psalmist in this psalm. The unquestioned love, the care of a father to a child. Let us take a further look then at some of the examples in these two psalms. Psalm 135. Praise or glorifying, extolling or warm appreciation of the greatness of Almighty God. Verse 3. Praise the Lord, for he is good. He surely is good to each of us in allowing us access to him through Jesus and the knowledge we have been permitted of the good news of the gospel. Verse 4, for his special treasure, Israel and each of us by adoption are as though we were Jews. Just think, the Almighty thinks of the Jews as a special treasure, and therefore us by adoption. Verse 5, the Lord is great. Verse 9, he sent signs and wonders to Israel. Remember the cloud by day and the flame by night. Imagine how we would feel if we could look up at that sky right now and see a cloud that we knew was the only cloud that we were to follow, or at night time, just to look up and to remind us that that flame meant that God was caring for us, wanted us to follow him and to protect him. If we had that, how would that make us feel? So that everything that we did, we knew that as we looked at that cloud in a clear blue sky, the Lord was looking down at us. Or at night time, if we were scared, we just looked up and we saw that flame flickering at us from a distance. And we could say, the Lord is with us. Imagine how we might have felt if we had been in that wilderness. How would we feel? But in fact, we know that our Lord is there all the time, providing we have the faith to acknowledge it. He sees everything we do. He knows everything we feel. He knows the things that come to us. And he cares how we react to each one of them. And each one of the things that happens to us, as did for Israel, happens to us to develop us. And he is watching, although we can't see him, we know he is watching over us. And then continuing in verse 10, there is some history. We know that he defeated many nations. He gave the land for a heritage. And in verse 14 of Psalm 135, because of all those things, the psalmist encouraged praise and thanks for the Lord. Here the psalmist lists some of the works of the Almighty. He was counting and detailing all the blessings that the family of Israel had enjoyed at the hand of the Almighty. Do we do this? Do we count all the blessings that we have and give thanks for them to the Almighty? When was the last time we thought about a list of all the things that we have been blessed with? Let alone write them out like the psalmist had done here. And that clearly was just a short list, it wasn't a complete list. The blessings that have been given by the bountiful hand of God. We read in Zechariah that if we follow the Lord, he will, you remember those words, open the windows of heaven so that the blessings, so that the warehouses of the world won't be big enough to contain the blessings that he has to offer those that follow him. And I think this is what was filling the mind and the heart of the psalmist as he wrote these psalms. Perhaps then we should make a list just for once for the things that we are thankful for. None of us would think of receiving a present from each other, surely, for our birthday or for a kindness that we had given without at least saying thank you. And in fact, probably we would write a short note to say how much we appreciated that kindness, of how that gift, how much more should we, when a gift is given from God, accepting that all the things that we have come from him. Strangely, when our children ask for something that is non-essential, we often, as part of our bedtime ritual of praying, start with a list of the things that are taken for granted sometimes, but we list the things that we have that so many people don't have, trying to put in their minds the fact that their heart, their cup, is more than half full. But how often as adults do we do this? Turning now to Psalm 136, you may remember the note at the top of the page, of my page, started recounting the mercy of God. Verse 4, the Lord doest great wonders. Verses 5 to 9, he created the world and everything around it. Verses 10 to 22, he protected Israel in the most spectacular ways sometimes. And by the way, he does the same for us each day. Verse 23, he condescended to see us and consider us as his treasure. Verse 24, he protects those that love him at all times. Verse 25, provides for all our material needs. And verse 26, we read, O give thanks to the God of heaven for his mercy, his forbearance, his compassion endures forever. In other words, his care never tires and will always be there for us. So within these two short psalms, we have, as it were, a masterclass of how to give thanks and praise to God, which has been given by the psalmist. How then should we give praise and thanks? The first two verses of Psalm 136 perhaps epitomizes everything. The provision of the Lord Jesus Christ. O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. The self-sacrifice of our Lord and Master was a personal tragedy for both our Lord and his Father and all those who so loved and valued and knew our Lord at that time. His disciples were devastated. But we know this was an encapsulation of the mercy of the Almighty, which had been planned from the very beginning. At the right time, our Lord was revealed, and his commitment was shown that we all may have the possibility of eternal life in God's mercy. We have repeated in the psalm, between each statement, a declaration of praise that God's mercy endures forever. So, as a reminder of how strong and how permanent his mercy and his care and his plan is for each one of us. Just think of that for the moment. This is surely an understatement of the word enduring, which is, of course, lasting, but when connected with the concept of forever, never ending, it puts this quality of patience and forgiveness way beyond our understanding. For who of us could honestly say that our patience is enduring? The forgiveness Jesus spoke of was not seven times, but 70 times seven. That is 490 times. If someone sins against you, you're supposed to forgive them 490. Well, in fact, it's a metaphor, of course, for always lasting, enduring forgiveness, or continual, forever, just like our Lord's mercy. This is the enduring mercy. We have been given the standard, but how does our patience compare? A thought to ponder, perhaps, before we take these emblems of our Lord's body and his blood. So from a practical point then, how can we praise the Almighty? I know that we do not have the hymn in our hymn books, but have you ever sung the hymn, Count Your Many Blessings, Name Them One by One? Now it sounds trite, but have we ever, as we asked earlier, have we ever done this? And if not, why not? This is what the psalmist seems to be doing. And in between each of the acknowledged blessings, he confirms the mercy that endures forever. These are not repeated without mistake. Everything that are in these pages are for our teaching, as we know. How often are our prayers a list of requests? I know mine are. Should they not rather be full of thanks and for praise and for acknowledgement of what we have, realizing that everything that's in our glass, it may be half full, but it's half full of blessings and love and care from the Almighty. And the bit that isn't full will come in the kingdom, and the bit that isn't full perhaps isn't for us right now and is not to be for us right now. We come now to remember the sacrifice made by both the Almighty in the sacrifice of his Son, and also we're here to remember the self-sacrifice of the Lord himself. Remember our feelings when Abraham was called upon to sacrifice his son, and the sense of commitment that he was called upon to show. So against his own will and the paternal love of his so longed for precious son, in the same way that Abraham so vividly demonstrated his praise and his thanks in his willingness to obey that somewhat cruel command, he was rewarded instantly and not tested to execute the original command. Jesus, too, willingly gave in to the will of the Almighty. We remember the words. But our Lord was required to take obedience to another level altogether. Not only did he have to commit, but in his case, full personal commitment was required, having led a faultless existence. In the words of our Lord in Matthew 26, verse 42, Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done. O give thanks to the Lord of heaven, for his mercy endures forever. For our memorial hymn, we have chosen hymn 181. Hymn 181. Father, we thy children bless thee, for thy love on us bestowed. As our Father we address thee, called to be the sons of God. Wondrous was thy love in giving Jesus for our sins to die. Wondrous was his grace in yielding to the great behest from high. Hymn 181.
Thank you.
Conclude our meeting by the singing of hymn 207, after which we'd ask Brother Cecil Harris please to close our meeting with prayer. Now, hymn 207. All creatures of our God and King, lift up your voice and with us sing, Hallelujah. Thou burning sun and golden beam, thou silver moon and softer gleam, O praise him, Hallelujah. Hymn 207.